Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bethel Covenant Church podcast, where we host the latest sermons and other programming. You can also visit us on Facebook and YouTube to watch videos of our sermons, checking up with the latest updates, and to view further programming. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website at bethelcov.org. Thank you for listening to this program.
As our human society has developed over the years, we have learned the importance of warning people about dangerous situations. And there's a lot of different signs, different warning and caution signs. Some common ones are a slippery surface or a high voltage area, forklift trucks, and now they have beeping sounds, especially when backing up. There's a sign for trip hazard, highly flammable gases, or warning us about a possible electric shock risk. All of these are pretty straightforward. They make sense, and we would be wise to avoid those areas or be careful around them whenever we see those signs. And then there's some warning signs that are a little less obvious, not quite as common, like these two. I am not sure where this person works, but it seems to me that a chest protector is in order, if those are the warning signs. And then there's some very unique warning signs. I don't know if these are in Pierce County anywhere, but I do sense that there's a row of deer hunters that are hoping for suicidal deer sometime soon. Not with the car. Unfortunately, those often don't have the long tines. You know, those are the different. And then falling cows. I think that's a real, like, serious sign. And then there's this one. So the bicyclist yields to the pedestrian yields to the bear, the bicycle also yields to the bear. Well, who does the bear yield to? No one. That is the warning. You have been warned. The bear yields to no one. There are warning words of caution for us when it comes to spiritual gifts, namely a caution against pride and self-elation. God's word is our warning sign. God's word guides, it directs, it instructs, it teaches, it gives wisdom, provides hope and peace. It can be a source of strength, and it serves as a warning. It also serves as a warning is the same way a caution sign does. Sometimes there's flashing lights, there's a slowdown sign, a merge, a stop, a turnaround. We see all of these kind of warnings within the Bible, and we see this also within the story of Simon that I read earlier for us. In Acts 8, we meet this man, Simon, a man who has power. He is able to amaze the people with his sorcery. His power is not from God, and yet it appears he could perform amazing feats that people exclaimed that this man is a great power of God. Such words and adoration went to Simon's head, and we see that he boasted that he was someone great. And why wouldn't he? I think this is actually a very human response, a quite normal response for anyone who amazes people, who has praise coming towards him. Anyone who has special abilities, who attracts followers, it's going to be normal for them to have some kind of pride, to think, yes, I am someone special, look what I can do. As the story goes, Philip visits Samaria, proclaims the good news of God in the name of Jesus. People hear it, they receive it, and they believe it. Then they are baptized. In verse 13, it says, Simon himself believed and was baptized. This would normally indicate that a change is coming, that something in Simon is different. And we would expect that. We would expect that any time someone professes faith in Christ, that they would have a change. But as the story continues, we find out that Simon may not have truly given his heart to the Lord because there was no change. That Simon, in fact, was the same. Simon seems to profess a faith in God partly because of Philip's spiritual giftedness of the great signs and miracles that Philip was doing. Simon's sorcery ability was not from God, but now he saw a greater power at work, the power of God, and he wanted it for himself. The apostles Peter and John, they come from Jerusalem to Samaria. They wanted to see the response that people were giving. People were coming to faith. God is at work. And yet, there's an interesting aspect of the faith not happening. The Samaritan people had not received the Holy Spirit. Peter and John prayed for the people, laid their hands on them, and then verse 17 tells us that they then did receive the Holy Spirit. And before we go any further, I want to ask the question, is how does anyone know when a person has the Holy Spirit? How do we know? Or when a person doesn't have the Holy Spirit? And perhaps this is the question that distinguishes the Christian faith from all other faiths. And even within Christianity, is it possible for people to say that they believe, to give lip service to the religion of Christianity, and not yet have a personal encounter with the living God? Can a person say that they believe, but not truly believe? Perhaps this was the case with Simon. The people of Samaria did not have the Holy Spirit, and then they did. Based on what? What was the evidence? The story in Acts 8 doesn't tell us. That detail is left out within Acts 8. We don't always get all of the details of all of the stories in the Bible. What we do have, though, is details from other stories of the Bible. So looking at other stories of the Bible, we can maybe piece together what is happening here in this story. Might the evidence of the Holy Spirit and the new believers be seen by some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Going back to Acts chapter 2, we read this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Perhaps the evidence for the Holy Spirit in the believers in Samaria was the gift of tongues. Now, I'm not going to be one that says that the gifts of tongues need to be present as evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence. To come to that conclusion would be to conclude that the Holy Spirit gives the same gift to each person. And as we've gone through the study, we've already established that that isn't how the gifting works. Different gifts come to different people, with each gift being equally valuable. But what's important to note is that the Holy Spirit did not initially fill those Samaritan believers and then did. And in order for that to be known, there must have been some kind of evidence of the Holy Spirit. Evidence that others can see. There must have been some kind of gifting or fruit of the Spirit that was obvious to others. Is the work, the gifting, the fruit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life obvious to others? Is it obvious to you? It seems to me, as we read this story, that it could be, and perhaps we might even say it should be. Going back to the story, when Simon saw that Peter and John were able to pray for people to receive the Spirit, Of course, it wasn't Peter and John, but God working through Peter and John. Simon responds, "Give me this ability," and offered them money. Did you know that money can't buy everything? For as important and as powerful as money is, there are some aspects of life that it just cannot attain. Money cannot buy God. Money cannot buy happiness or joy or peace or hope or love. We think it can. We're told that it can, but it can't. Some people have all the money in the world, more than they know what to do with, and they're miserable. No joy, no happiness, no peace. Perhaps because there is no God. When we first meet Simon, he had some kind of sorcery power and amazed all the people in Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people gave them their attention. They followed him. Simon was chastised for two reasons. First, because he thought he could buy the gift of God with money. Now, we may not think that we can buy the gift of God with money, but do we think we can buy the gift of God with good deeds? Or do we think we can buy God with a long prayer? Or do we think we can buy God with certain sacrifices in our life? So before we shame Simon too much, let us see this as a caution for our lives in the way that we might try to manipulate God to do something for us because we want it. Second, Simon is chastised because his heart is not right before God. And there we have it. The Simon we first meet continues to be the same Simon throughout the story. There was no change. There was no change of character. There was no change in life's goals. No change in his ambitions, no change in his priorities. Simon most likely loved the attention that people gave him. And now he could see if he had that same ability as Peter and John, the ability to give the Holy Spirit to others, then that people would love him all the more. To want an ability from God is not necessarily a wrong desire. Why, just last week, Pastor, didn't you say that we are to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts? I did say that. I said it because the Bible says it. There it is. It's right there. Is that not what Simon is doing? It seems to me that he is in line with what it means to be a follower of God. Well, yes, outwardly it appears that that's what he is doing. And yet, we find out that something different is happening on the inside. For you see, we can desire the right thing for the wrong reason. When we desire the greater gifts, the next question is, for what purpose? Is it for others to follow me, or for others to follow God? Do we desire the greater gifts for me to be lifted up, or for it to be God to be lifted up? Caution, warning, danger ahead. Where is your heart? God is asking each and every one of us, where is your heart? Is your heart right before me? With God's help, it can be. Of course it can be. It can be because this is the work of Jesus in our lives. And so we praise God for that good news. Here are the three warning signs for us today. One, we cannot manipulate God. Simon tried to buy the gift of God. It's a gift. It cannot be bought with money or good deeds or sacrifices. Second, misaligned heart. Our heart is to be right before God. Simon wanted the attention and the power so he could have the followers and the praise. He never repented in the story. Even when Peter told him to, even when Peter said, your heart was wrong, Simon didn't repent. He asked Peter, pray to God for God's mercy. Simon didn't pray to God. He wants someone else to do that. This misaligned heart was also the warning in the church in Corinth. They were boasting about their spiritual abilities. Look what I can do, they were saying, but you can't. My gift is better. I have the greater gift. My ability is more important than your ability. No, Paul says. And then the third warning. Warning against disengagement or false humility. 1 Corinthians 12, 15 through 19. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just where he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? So in that passage, we are warned against believing and against living as if we are not part of the body of Christ. We are warned against living our life as if we don't have a place in the church. We are warned against not using our spiritual gift. This second and third warning are actually about the same thing. And it's warning against a life that does not bring glory to God. A life that lives for self does not bring glory to God. And a life that hides in the shadows does not bring glory to God. Though the two lives look different, the end result is the same. God is not glorified. God is not glorified when we want the spotlight. That is wrong. And God is not glorified when we sit on the sideline, no longer reflecting his nature, no longer being a channel for his spirit to work through us. That too is wrong. Sitting on the sideline saying, oh, I'm a nobody, don't look at me, is just as wrong as going up on stage saying, look at me, I'm great, come see what I can do. Both postures focus on self and not on God. It is God who we want to lift up. It is God who we want to be elevated. It is God who we want to be honored and glorified. And this happens when we live out and use our spiritual gifts in the most excellent way. Our key verse last week, this 1 Corinthians 12:31, now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and I stopped there, but the verse continues, because it's a transition into chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. So just as the Bible has warnings and caution signs, it also has arrows. Arrows that show us the way. Paul continues. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. You can choose any gift that the Spirit gives, and without love, it is nothing. The most excellent way is the way of love. Without love, we are only a clanging cymbal. Without love, we are nothing. Without love, we gain nothing. The point being, spiritual gifts are not meant for our gain. They are meant to be a channel of God's love to others. Spiritual gifts channel God's love to the people of God, and it channels God's love to people who don't know God. The motivating reason why we can embrace our spiritual gift, no longer sitting on the sideline, no longer being disengaged, while also not clamoring to be in the spotlight, is because of love. When love fills our hearts, we no longer worry about being in the spotlight, and we no longer worry about being disengaged. Going back to the story about Simon in Acts and putting that story alongside with this passage from Paul in the early church, moving from 1 Corinthians 12 to chapter 13, we see that God is interested more in your character development than in your gift development. Now, to be sure, God wants you to develop your gift. To be sure, God wants you to develop your gift, but not without also developing your character. This is so important that we can ask, is it possible for my spiritual giftedness to grow without my character to grow? I say no. And this is where God not only provides us with gifts of the Spirit, but also with fruit of the Spirit. Because God is interested in our character development, He's going to help us with that as well. And it starts with love. It starts with love. That is the most excellent way. Added to love is joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. More arrow signs for us to be who God wants us to be as followers of Jesus. And as those character traits describe us, we will naturally heed the warning signs. In the Bible, it was evident when someone was filled with the Spirit. It was evident. The people of Samaria heard the good news. They believed, they were prayed for, and then filled with the Holy Spirit. Was the evidence of the Holy Spirit present throughout the rest of their lives? It's hard to know, impossible to know for sure. Most likely, yes, for some, and perhaps not for others. For those that continued on with their lives from that moment, from that day, where the evidence of the Holy Spirit was not present, it could have been because they did not pay attention to the warning signs. Perhaps they tried to manipulate God, or maybe they had a misaligned heart, or maybe they disengaged and sat on the sideline. These are the warning and caution signs for us today as we think about what it means to follow God with our giftedness as the Holy Spirit has given us. May you grow in your giftedness, bringing glory to God, knowing that it is God who is also helping you grow in your character as well. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, for the gift of your Spirit, that we can be filled, Lord, with your presence. And so, God, as we want that, may we also pay attention to the caution and the warning signs. Not for us to be lifted up and glorified, but for you, Lord, that we would be a channel of your love for others to see and to love them with your love. We pray in your name. Amen.